Moncrief on News Talk.
Even with the ongoing horror of the events in Gaza, it's worth remembering that not all Israelis support what's happening there. Not all Israelis or Jews around the world support Zionism. But all too often, the narrative becomes a binary one of good guys versus bad guys. Ria Cherniak-Lebov is one such person. She's from Dublin, but her dad is Israeli. She's proud of her Jewish heritage, but she's also horrified by what's been happening to Palestinians. As a Jew and an Irish woman, this can often be an uncomfortable place to be, something she's been writing about in the journal today. Ria, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
So you were born and grew up in Dublin.
I did, yeah.
Yeah, and so, but I assume you've always been aware of your Jewish heritage through your father.
Yeah, of course I have. And I went to Stratford. I went to the Jewish school in Dublin and was definitely brought up in the tight-knit kind of Jewish community. Mm. And my dad moved to Ireland in 1978. So we went back as children quite a bit to Israel to visit. And the last time I actually went was on a birthright trip when I was 19. And I haven't been back since. But yeah, everything from having Hebrew in my home to just being kind of embedded in the culture.
Mm. And the birthright trip is an interesting one. That's kind of every Jew around the world gets a free trip to Israel at some point.
Yeah, they are offered one by an American philanthropic adventure.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have an awful lot of complicated feelings about that since then. And even when I was on it, I definitely would have had questions around Zionism growing up, but they didn't really find the words, or I didn't find the words till probably I was in my 20s. And it took till I was in my 20s to actually learn about the Nakba and to educate myself about the history of the origins of the State of Israel. And I guess I've been trying to educate myself ever since.
Yeah. When October the 7th happened, Did you have friends or family who were affected by that?
Well, not like everybody. Like, I think people sometimes forget how small Israel is.
Yeah.
Everybody in Israel knew somebody. Mm. And I have an older sister in Israel and all my aunts and uncles and cousins. And so, yeah, of course, we were devastated and trying to reach out to people. And I have an older sister there who said that a good friend of hers' son was injured. He was at the music festival, and the degrees of separation are so small that there's nobody, even in Ireland, people think it's so disconnected, but most Jewish people in Ireland would have relatives in Israel, and they would have all felt that horror of seeing what happened.
Mm. In that same complicated way, though, in the days afterwards, did you kind of have a feeling of dread as to what the reaction was going to be to that?
Absolutely. And I knew what the reaction would be like to that. But what I kind of said in the article was actually, I think this sense of profound dread started in 2022, because when that election took place and the Knesset was like formed with a coalition with two very right wing parties, my heart completely sank. And I just knew that there's just, if you are kind of following this situation for a certain length of time, and you've ever heard people like Itamar Ben-Gvir speak or Bezalel Smotrich, like, they are ultra-Zionists, and they are not just calling for Israeli safety. They're calling for expansionist programs, and they don't respect Palestine's right to exist. Mm. And so long as I knew they were in power, I was very anxious about what would happen to Palestine.
Yeah, the because I suppose in the few months after October the 7th, and you know, the as I suppose anybody would have anticipated, there was a ferocious response from the IDF towards Gaza. But we're now a year and a half down the road, and it doesn't seem to have abated.
No,
within the Jewish community here, and other friends and contacts you might have, you'd think after a period of time they might start to say, whoa, hang on, this has become horrific now.
Yeah.
Have you any sense of that?
I feel like what my frustration comes from is often I guess, you know, the way you can say and or but. Mm. And if you say this is horrific and someone say but it was justified or this. And I'm like, I don't think violence ever justifies further violence. And yes, October 7th was horrific, but this is horrific and it's collective punishment. And we do need to talk about it in the technical terms of what's happening and discuss like war crimes. And even like I think it's highlighting among a lot of people who maybe weren't really well versed in the situation, things like administrative detention and just like, yeah, the treatment of people in the West Bank by settlers. And now people are talking about all of these things which preceded October 7th. But I find in the Jewish community, there's so much fear mongering. People are so afraid of the rise of anti-Semitism that I think to put your head above the parapet and say, I outrightly reject Israel's response, it almost, I feel like there is kind of, it's seen as being insensitive to the suffering of all the families of hostages and people like it was horrific on October 7th, the kibbutz that many of the hostages were taken from was a complete pacifist enclave of people who had spent their lives, a lot of them, in peaceful collaborative projects with Palestine. And to have that happen to them, I found absolutely heartbreaking.
Yeah, absolutely. You, as you outlined in the article, you've been on marches.
Yeah.
Jews for Palestine. You know, and you were kind of maybe hoping that the other Jews might sort of go, hey, you know, I support you.
Yeah.
Did you find that?
No, maybe not. I had some very quiet messages of support and a lot of very loud messages of by very angry people who thought I should be ashamed of myself, thought I'd betrayed our community and thought that I was fueling anti-Semitism by acting in solidarity with Palestine. And I just, I guess, maybe, I mean, when I was growing up, I think the reason that it's taken me so long to be very publicly vocal about this was because when I was a child, obviously my father was in the IDF and he served in a war. Mm. And I remember saying something sympathetic about Palestine once or and I just remember my dad's reply was almost like a, you fight in a war and then you get to have an opinion. And I've spent my life trying to educate myself to feel like I have a right to a stance. And some of the messages from people in Israel that I would, they are people who really matter to me. And they say, like they said, like the nerve of you sitting safely in Dublin and passing judgment on us. And and I think that's what I really want to make clear is that I'm not trying to demonize the average Israeli. Like I have, there are so many people and organizations that mean so much to me there. But I think in the exact same way, that I don't think Hamas in any way represents the general population of Gaza or the West Bank. Mm. With their leadership, I don't think that Netanyahu and like he doesn't represent either the opinions or the values, and he certainly doesn't represent Judaism.
Yeah. By the same token, Ria, in Ireland, now I see you're wearing a Star of David. When you're going about your day, are you perhaps reticent to share your heritage with somebody you might just meet randomly for fear of what their reaction might be?
I think because I'm from here, I have experienced every reaction under the sun where it's not that I go around announcing that I'm Jewish, but I mean, the amount of people, if you look in any way not Irish, they say, oh, where are you from? And I say, oh, well, my dad's from Israel. And I get everything from being chastised about like, oh my God, I can't believe what this and that. And I'm like, and when you're out for a quiet drink, maybe you don't want to have to get into politics permanently. Mm. But equally, I've had people almost whisper to me and say, well, we're on your side. And I was like, you've presumed that you know my politics because you know whether it's about nationality or faith. And I think that just decoupling politics and religion is so important, both in an Irish context and in an Israeli context. I don't think people really see the nuance And the necessity to stop conflating Judaism and Zionism.
Yeah. Or even perhaps Judaism and being an Israeli.
That too. But I think there's quite a lot of people in Israel who, like sometimes you were talking about binaries. And the biggest binary for me at the moment is people who want peace and people who are not willing to compromise. And I think that both leaderships at the moment are making it impossible to see a peaceful future. Mm. But I guess I'm that kind of age where a very pivotal memory in my kind of early adolescence was the assassination of Yitzhak Rabin. And I remember my mother being devastated because she thought this was the chance to make peace.
Yeah.
And I remember as like that being that age, I thought that an Arab had shot him. And then this discovery that it was a radical ultra-Zionist who had sabotaged peace. Like that took like time for my little brain to comprehend. And as long as the situation has been going on, there have been people who are such extremists that they don't want to they don't want to give up their privilege, or they don't want to give up this very extreme ideology. And the only way, as we know from the peace process in the north of Ireland, is through dialogue. You don't get there by bombing people.
Yeah, because I get, without not having been there, but I get a sense in Israel that there is almost a collective trauma after October the 7th, because it was, it was a pogrom, essentially, a particularly vicious one. And so there is that kind of, even among people who might have been previously quite liberal, are kind of still shocked and maybe don't want to speak up.
Well, I think what we don't see here in the media as much. I went to this amazing talk by Suleiman Khatib, and he is one of the founding members of Combatants for Peace. And so they are ex-IDF, where they started as ex-IDF. And many of the Palestinians involved are ex-prisoners in Israeli prisons. And hearing him speak about it was just incredible, because he had spent, I think, 10 years in an Israeli prison. And I think that the longer that like extreme violence and dehumanization takes place, the more you radicalize your youth. And in order to raise a new generation who are like inclined to reach out and care for their neighbors, no matter what faith or ethnicity they are, you need to start with dialogue. And I just think there are a lot of Israelis who absolutely want rid of Netanyahu. And there's an awful lot of them that are looking for an investigation into how the hostages remained there for so long.
Yeah,
and there was a peaceful talk recently where Liri Albag, who was a released hostage, was speaking. And far from getting a hero's welcome when she finally did get home, she's gotten death threats and hate because she's been critical of Netanyahu. And it's just, she's not towing the party line. And we all need to maintain, like, this isn't a time for towing the party line. It's a time for criticality and saying, like, this is barbaric. And how does it end? Is there a way of bringing peace?
Yeah. Do you see a way out of this at the moment? It seems like, the world is looking at this and they don't really care what anyone thinks, it seems, the Netanyahu regime doesn't seem to care what anybody thinks, whether they're critical or not.
They're not going, I'm always, even in the article that said I was an academic, and I have to clarify, I'm not an academic.
You're
in politics and history. I lecture in visual culture. But as far as I can see, the only way out of this is, Netanyahu broke a ceasefire just to avoid his own court case. Mm. You know, he was wanted for fraud and for bribery and all sorts of things long before this. And that's why I think the only way out of it is new leadership.
Yeah.
There's no two ways about it. It's not in his interests to make peace. And he's doing a massive disservice to Israelis and Jews around the world.
Mm. I wonder when the next election is due in Israel.
Oh, I think he has stated that he doesn't think wartime is a time for an election.
Yeah.
Conveniently enough.
Rhea, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Rhea Cherniak-Lebov there.
Moncrief. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.